So we want to have some prayer, but before we do, I'd like to take the liberty to add a little context to direct our praying as we're together as brothers. You know, years ago, when I was in college, I was in a Baptist college, and they had a summer session with a famous theologian named Dr. Beasley Murray, and he was the president of Spurgeon's College in London. And he had just written the commentary on Ephesians, and so we studied Ephesians for the summer under Dr. Beasley Murray, the guy who wrote the commentary. So we'd get into class, and Beasley Murray would start sharing and relating to little bits, little Greek words and little things here and there, and then he'd give a test, and his test was quite deep. And some of us students, we said, well, you haven't lectured this content. How can you give us a test on it? He says, it's all in the book. Now, when our brother felt that the burden for this time should be the ministry of God's word, I remembered a time when our brother shared on this ministry way back in 1990, before some of you were born. And I remember we had a conference in Florida with a bunch of men from all various kinds of charismatic backgrounds and everything. And we had this conference down in Florida. And I remember how much I was touched by our brother's ministry when he ministered during that time. And sure enough, in the Richmond tape library, they had those messages, which I hadn't heard for 30 years. And our dear brother Jeffrey, who must be the fastest typist I've ever known, he typed out that book that you've been reading, that Ministering God's Word by our brother Stephen. That's actually the transcribed messages of our brother from 1990. So we're thankful our brother can share, and even if he shares something a little brief, you have the book. And he is annotating things as he feels the Spirit is leading him, which leads me to something of value that we should see. Our dear brother is approaching 105 years. The only reason he's on this earth is because he's a minister of the Word of God. And whatever he lacks in terms of content, you've already read, that's the content. But what he has in spirit is of tremendous help to us if we realize it. You know, the story in church tradition is when John the Apostle was very old, occasionally he would come to the meeting in Ephesus, and the brothers would carry him in. He couldn't walk. And they'd always ask him, after they broke bread, to please share a word for everybody. And so he'd get up there, and he'd say, "My little children, love one another." And that was it. Now, you know, I mean, I would have paid an extra dollar just to have heard the Apostle John preach some message. But that little message came out with such life that it helped revive the church. Now, our brother Cher began at that point in Acts chapter 6, where Peter said, "But we will pray and give ourselves to the ministry of the word." And my deepest burden is that you brothers would no longer be or consider yourselves part-time philanderers in the word, part-time distributors of the word, but that you, to the best of your ability, would give yourself to the ministry of God's word. Now, our brother went on, do you remember in the book, and he explained a little bit about what Peter meant, because he asked the question, well, what was the word of God to Peter? They didn't have the New Testament. There was no book written. In Acts chapter 6, the church was hardly born. But what was the word of God? And he shared some precious things, which could I just emphasize, because it's something we can pray about. Basically, he said, of course, the apostles were unique because they had personally walked with Jesus for 3 years. And so, number one, they shared the teachings and the ministries that Jesus did while he was upon this earth. And this is unique to them. They walked with him and they talked with him. They walked with the living word. And they had that to share from their experience. This was in those early days when they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. All they taught was Christ. I remember the day when he saw the fig tree. I remember the time there was a man who came on a bier dead and Jesus raised him up. These are the things that they taught, the things that they saw, that Jesus did. They were eyewitnesses, not only of what Jesus did, but also of his resurrection. That's number one. Number two, as they looked back into the Old Testament, what happened? By the Holy Spirit, they saw Christ in the Old Testament. And they began to see not the Old Testament as history or prophecies or anything like that or laws, but they saw Christ in the Old Testament by the Holy Spirit. And then third, there's a third form of the Word of God that came to them. And what was that? Because they were absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit, this indwelling Holy Spirit. The Lord continued to reveal truths to them as they were able to bear it. You remember that from John chapter 16. I have many more things to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth will come, he will continue to open up things. And especially we see that in our dear brother Paul. The Lord opened, all of the disciples. They knew of the greatness of Christ. They understood that he was the Son of the living God. But look what revelation was expanded regarding the church, regarding God's eternal purpose, and all of these things that was seen in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But they had Christ as their center view, and the Holy Spirit to distribute Christ through the Old Testament and through the further revelation that they gave. And so these apostles became the men who wrote the Word of God that we now have. Because we are not eyewitnesses, but we've been given the Word of God. So the first thing I want us to think about praying about is this. When we say, but we will give ourselves to the ministry of the Word, I want you to understand, and I don't want to say this in a wrong way, you should be in love with the Word of God. I mean, not just an occasional looker in, a devotional Bible reader. You should have your own leatherback copy and read it, digest it, underline it, ask questions. You should be in love with the Word of God. Just as Peter was in love with the Lord Jesus. See, the Word of God is now the Lord Jesus to us. It's the Logos come to us. And we need to seriously pray about this. I've heard too many sermons from dear brothers who showed that they had an abysmal knowledge of what the Word of God was about. These things should not be. If we're going to be men of God, something's got to deepen in our love. But if you don't love that Word of God, we will not have what the Lord wants in these last days. So if we want to say we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word, we need to take that Bible seriously. And then just one more thing, because our brother mentioned it, and this is all in his book, by the way. I'm saying nothing original here. But the second thing he mentioned was this whole matter of the incarnational development of the Word of God in us. This is John chapter 1. The Word became flesh. This is what they call incarnational, right? Now, we know that John, in the context, had to write the Gospel of John, not only to preach the gospel, that the lost might believe and be saved, but as you know, it's a gospel of recovery to Christians. And what is the context that John was speaking to? Here it is. By the time he wrote that gospel, books had been written. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had been written. Paul's epistles had already been written. And a problem was developing in the church, and what was that? The men of God were preaching doctrines, but devoid of the Holy Spirit's dependence and revelation. So doctrines were proliferating through the church. And so John brought to the reality of us in recovery, don't you know the Holy Spirit is your indwelling comforter? You find that nowhere else except in Paul in certain spots. That he's the one who leads you into truth, and he's the one who reveals the things regarding Jesus. But the church had lost that initial dependence, full dependence upon the Holy Spirit to give revelation. And so it was becoming doctrines, doctrines, doctrines. I don't know, I just give you a trivia bit. I don't know how many have read 1 and 2 Clement. Do you know what that is? 1 and 2 Clement were two epistles written which the early church thought about putting into the New Testament. And when they were looking at different things, because Clement was a disciple of Timothy and the leader of the church in Ephesus. But when they looked at these two epistles, it was long on doctrine, but short on the Holy Spirit. This is what John was trying to address. In other words, let me put it to today. What is the Lord trying to recover today in the ministry of the word? Here it is. You and I have inundated the church with doctrines, and often without the Holy Spirit. So we've become a people of great head knowledge, but that the Spirit has not worked in our lives these things, even that we're talking about. I mean, I don't know if you can notice this, but there's people who know how to preach on the eternal purpose of God who are not living as those in that eternal purpose. You know, there's people who talk about I've been crucified with Christ and their life is completely carnal. This is when doctrine becomes devoid of that Holy Spirit's working in us, that in some small measure, the reality of the things we speak are a reality in here. So I'm so thankful we have a dear brother who's got a reality that even exceeds what he can tell us by the word of God. And I just want us to pray that God will raise up some brother, some brothers, who will seriously become servants of the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to recover this Spirit-anointed ministry of the word of God. Not just a ministry of doctrines. An anointed ministry of the Word of God. The Word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, dealt with by the Holy Spirit, so it comes out of our own experience as rivers of living water. Because it's been digested. This is what we need today, brothers. If you came here to hear more doctrine, well, he's going to tell you about when he got saved. And you're not going to hear much from me either, because I'm still trying to read and figure out his book. So I'm in the school with you, in the school of Christ. But do you think we could pray? We have to 11:30. We don't have to take it to that point. But, brothers, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but I don't feel like the Spirit is completely satisfied with the ministry in our assemblies. A lot of it is casual, flippant, half-done messages, and often without even a touch of the Holy Spirit. How long can we bear with the letter when the basis, very basis of our ministry is New Covenant ministry? The Spirit writing Christ. Oh, we need recovery. We need recovery. May it be that in our assemblies people say, I'm hearing the Spirit of God. We need that recovery of New Covenant ministry. I think our brother, God willing, will share on that tomorrow morning. New Covenant ministry, where the Spirit of God writes Christ on people's hearts. What a refreshment, what a reviving, what a recovering to our assemblies, right? How we need this. I start with myself. Why don't we have some time in prayer? And seriously think about this. Listen, if you're thinking about it and you're glad you're here and you have some promise and you're a smart guy, I'd rather you went home. If you're not serious about being full of the Holy Spirit when you speak the word of God. The Lord really wants this in his last days. Oh, listen. May those who hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches repent. And let's open that Bible in a new and living way. And depend upon the Holy Spirit, even as those early apostles. They were totally dependent. They didn't know where to go the next day. And yet, look how the Lord built the church. May the Lord recover the ministry of the Word of God. It's absolutely crucial to the church's recovery. Not half-done ministry, not so-so ministry, not layman's ministry. Full-born ministry that's come through the process of the Holy Spirit's working. Now, you've heard this, and I'll just say it. You're in the Lord's, if you're serious about ministering the Word of God, you're in the Lord's tender trap. There's a song about love being the tender trap. The Holy Spirit's got you in the tender trap, because here's what happens. The more you minister the Word of God, the more the Word will haunt you, unless you forsake it. You minister the Word of God, and the Lord will, just like Ezekiel, make you eat that word. You talk about righteousness. Go ahead. Talk about righteousness in the assembly. The Lord will make you eat that word. You talk about love in the assembly. Praise God. The Lord will make you eat that word. The Lord has been spooking me for years because he trapped me. He got me to preach the word. Then he says, you remember that? You know? You're caught in a trap. The Lord deals with his servants, but he transforms his servants and produces glorious servants if we're serious about it. Oh, in the last days, what's Peter's word? Be sober in all things. And in this matter of ministry of the word, may the Lord help us. No more casual business here. Let's pray the Lord to really lay hold of his servants in these last days. Give us revelation of the things that we speak as letter so that it could be living word. Okay? Let's just have an open time. Our brother Ezra will come and close the time when it seems appropriate. And let's just ask the Lord to recover the word made flesh in this last day. Okay?